landfill plants. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
WCVE, Public Radio HD. Time now for the Monday morning business news analysis. Andy Foldenauer is sitting in today for Brian Ford from RBC Wealth Management. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Wayne.
Well, it was a week ago today that we learned of the European Union coming to the assistance of Ireland with a formal financial aid package. Did it affect U.S. markets last week?
Yeah. Following a slight pullback in November, the U.S. stock market powered ahead this past week, rising about 3%, which included two impressive broad-based rallies on Wednesday and Thursday. Commodity prices, which includes precious metals, continued their strong move higher. What helped drive things higher was decent Chinese manufacturing data and, what you mentioned, a formal plan to resolve Ireland's banking and financial crisis. I will say that it doesn't appear that the European sovereign debt crisis is solved, and it's almost like watching a crash in slow motion. Portugal is likely to become the next bailout culprit, but the ultimate test could occur in 2011 if Spain is further challenged by the global bond markets. The continued streak of improved U.S. economic data also boosted the market this week, although it came to a grinding halt on Friday when disappointing employment data was released.
Well, with respect to those who want to hear good news, that jobs report for November was very disappointing, worse than expectations.
Yeah, it was. I think Friday's employment report provided a glimpse into the long-term headwinds facing the U.S. economy. The unemployment rate rose to 9.8% from 9.6% in November. Also, the U6 unemployment rate, which includes the underemployed, held steady at 17%. Only 39,000 payroll jobs were added for the month, which was well below the consensus of 150,000 jobs. It's worth noting that a normal economic recovery cycle would be delivering more than 200,000 jobs per month. There are no quick fixes to America's employment problems, and Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke even commented yesterday that it could be four or five more years until we're at a normal unemployment rate of 5 to 6%. The challenges are not caused solely by the Great Recession or politicians. They are deeply impacted by structural issues such as the changing global workforce and increased overseas competition. There is deep concern that the disappointing jobs report from this past month is signaling a weaker fourth quarter than other economic data has been indicating. Also, some analysts immediately embraced the idea that the Fed's controversial quantitative easing program is now a necessity that will help support the economy in the near term. Needless to say, the topic of unemployment will continue to be front and center in the political universe, especially with unemployment benefits set to expire this month for over 2 million people.
Well, as we just heard on the news, and as you just referred to, Fed Chairman Bernanke gave a rare interview to the highly watched 60 Minutes program last night, defending the Fed's plan to buy back $600 billion in U.S. bonds. Did we learn anything new or different?
Yeah, it's one thing that's worth mentioning is it's not common for him to do sit-down televised interviews, but it is apparently a part of a broader effort to raise the Fed chairman's public profile and counter the critics of Fed policy, which is right now both in Washington and around the world. He did reiterate that the Fed stands ready to act if the economy fails to respond or unemployment stays too high, even meaning that the Federal Reserve could end up buying more than the $600 billion in government bonds. He also said that a return to a recession doesn't seem likely, but indicated that a long period of high unemployment could damage confidence and is the primary source of risk that we might have another slowdown in the economy. The last thing worth mentioning is Ben Bernanke reiterated U.S. complaints that China's policy of limiting gains in its exchange rate is hurting the U.S. economy. One of the byproducts of the Fed's latest policy has been a devaluing of the U.S. dollar.
About 2 minutes to go. With the recent gains in U.S. stocks over the past 2 or 3 months, are you starting to see any change in investors' attitudes?
Yeah, as the stock market has fought through the recent volatility, a slight shift has occurred in investors' appetites. Throughout most of 2010, individual investors have poured money into bond and money market funds and withdrawn large sums from the stock market. However, according to data tracking firm Lipper, Equity mutual funds and exchange-traded funds recorded inflows of over $16 billion for the month of November. Taxable bond fund inflows exceeded that amount during the same period, but in a much smaller margin than in previous months. The shift in money flows coincides with improved investor sentiment, according to the American Association of Individual Investors. Interestingly, individual investors are bullish or optimistic about the U.S. stock market's prospects for the next 6 months. It's worth noting that investor sentiment is often a contrary indicator. When attitudes are extremely bullish, for example, the markets tend to fall. Currently, sentiment is not so high as to prompt us to reduce our equity exposure, but it's worth monitoring in the near term.
In just over 30 seconds, anything we should be watching out for this week?
Yeah, as we heard earlier, keep an eye on Washington this week, as we are learning this morning that White House officials and congressional Republicans are closing in on a deal that would extend current income tax rates for all Americans, as well as a benefits program for the long-term unemployed. There are also many components to this package, and for investors, they are mainly focusing on the extension of dividends and capital gains taxes, which are currently taxed at the 15% rate.
All right, thanks to Andy Foldenauer at RBC Wealth Management for sitting in today, and we appreciate it. Have a good week.
All right, thanks, Wayne.
It's 8:40.